on a theme that really I was surprised that I needed to go over myself. And the scripture talks about how important it is for us to hear the same thing the second time, right? Even Jonah in the belly of the whale, the scripture says the word of the Lord came to him second time, right? Sometimes we need to hear it the second time, and sometimes the third time. Thank you, Jesus and Roly. And so sometimes we forget, right? In the passing of time, we forget. Sometimes despite our best intentions, stuff gets crowded out of our lives, and we just need to hear it again. And even for myself, I find sometimes I go over stuff that I preached a week ago or a month ago or 6 months ago, and I say, my dear Lord Jesus, that's good. That's good, right? Whoa, I preached that? You mean that? Whoa, and it's only 2 months old, and I'm thinking like, whoa, this is really, whoa, like this is, must be a lifetime ago. But the Word of God has the power to refresh us and heal us and restore us and put us back in the place of blessing. And so we pray that for you. I pray that for you when I get seeking the Lord to prepare for this moment. Always in my heart. I'm like Paul. You guys are always in my heart. That I would bring something to you that is profitable. And I believe the Lord's given this to me. So a couple weeks ago, we talked to you about the authority of the name of Jesus. And I want to say to you at the outset that when it looks like, in fact, what I entitled my message a few weeks ago, when it looks like you don't stand a chance, when it looks like you don't stand a chance, then, right? And so I want us to pick up on that this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're facing some situations, and in your mind it looks like you don't stand a chance. Well, I hope by the time we're done today, you'll say, bless God, I have more than a chance. I have the assurance of victory and of blessing. And I believe this will be refreshing to you. In John chapter 15, verse 16, in fact, before we go there, Dan, may I trick you? Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. For some of you, I expect to hear this, right? And others, it's a silent treatment. Some of you give me the silent treatment. So either way, as long as you're reading it right, eventually you'll read it up here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I need my extra eyes here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Further to that, I have another verse I had marked, actually. Just give me 1 second. Give me 1 second. I wanted that verse, but there was another one I want. I will get to it. No, I will get to it later. Okay, this scripture, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, I don't know how it works with you, but I've used this verse many times in sharing with people. From time to time, we come across people who say, man, I'm just not sure that I'm saved. How do you know that you're saved? How can you know for sure? And I've just found myself using this scripture many times because the Apostle John says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name and Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Sometimes when you're speaking with people, they'll say, if you ask them, do you know Jesus? Are you part of the kingdom of God? They will say to you, well, I hope so. Or some will say, I think so. And some will say, I guess so. And some will say, I guess we'll see one day. And I say, whoa, 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 enough. And whoa, chikai, whoa. I say, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And so sometimes we talk about the fact, I sometimes talk about the fact that if you were to come to me, if you were to come to me this morning and you say, Pastor Ray, are you married? And I would say to you, well, I hope so. Or if I would say, I think so. Or if I were to say, I guess so. Or if you say, are you married? And I say, well, I guess we'll see one day. You'd say, man, like this guy just doesn't get it. He's not quite tracking. We got a problem here. But if you actually come to me and you say, Pastor Ray, are you married? I say, absolutely. Yes, I'm married. Well, you say, well, how do you know? Well, I say, I got the ring. Right? There was a day that 42 years ago, actually last week, praise Jesus, can you believe it? Oh! June the 10th, we share that with some other auspicious couples. But 42 years ago, my wife and I knelt before God together in a church in northern Alberta. And we pledged our lives to one another, and we put on a ring that bears testimony to the fact that now we can say, I know I'm married. We made a pledge. We entered into a covenant together, and we signed the thing. We even got a document, or at least we should have. We may have. I think so. I hope so. I guess so. I'll have to do some digging. I guess if I'm keeping it, we're in trouble. Let's not. Listen, this is public. Don't do it. So we have a certain, the answer is yes, okay? That in order that you may know that you have eternal life. So if ever that question afflicts you, your response can be, yes, I know. Hallelujah, I know I'm in. How come? Because I got a ring goes around my heart. I got a signature written in blood in the name of Jesus. I have a promise that's sure that through faith I'm a son of God, a child of God. Yeehaw, that's good. Okay, but what happens is we many times in all that, we miss the first part of the verse. Where John writes, these things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And we spoke about that last week, believing in the Son of God. Some of you may wish to find that and help me out. But here in 1 John chapter 5, I thought it was maybe verse 9, I misplaced the reference. But the scripture says, This is the command of God that you believe in the name of His Son Jesus. If you find that for me, help me out.
1 John 5:11-12.
Maybe. Close. Close. Not quite. Close. Okay, so our charge this morning is that we believe in the name of Jesus, and we want to talk about that. In John chapter 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, Jesus said, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bear fruit, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. I want to talk to you about that this morning because I believe the name of Jesus is very powerful in our lives when it looks like we don't stand a chance. And I think what happens to us is we get into the kingdom of God and we kind of flub and flounder around a little bit, but we fail to understand and realize the authority and the power of the name of Jesus in our lives. So as we talk about that this morning, the scripture says in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so the more we talk about any particular theme in Scripture, and more we reflect on, meditate on any of the promises of God, faith wells up on the inside of us. And our lives begin to change to accommodate it. In John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, Jesus said, whatsoever you ask, implied of the Father, in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now what that means, as I shared with you a couple weeks ago, is that spiritually, we have been given power of attorney, which is very powerful. And we talked about, and you're familiar with the line of thought, the line of reasoning, that says let's say I have Chris here in front of me, and let's say I write out a check, and I leave the title blank, or the main line blank, but I sign my name at the bottom of the check. That gives Chris great authority and great liberty and great opportunity to use that check however she wants and however much she dare write in. However much the amount that she would write in to the amount section, that's what would belong to her. And so that points us in the direction of understanding the authority of power of attorney and how that works in our lives. I shared with you last time around in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons, and they will They will do some other stuff. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents and they will not harm them and so on. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And you recall how last time around we were looking at that scripture. If I could get verse 17, Dan. The scripture begins, "These signs will accompany those who believe." But I reminded you how that the scriptures, when they were translated into Greek, they were and even written in the translated into English, the punctuation was at the discretion of the translators. And so the translators decided they should put a colon in after the word "believed." And so the sentence reads, "These signs will accompany those who have believed." Stop. "In my name, they will cast out demons." However, if we change that, if we, let's say we exercise a little discretion and move the colon from after the word "believe" to after the word "name," then the sentence is really strengthened. And it reads like this: "These signs will follow those who believe in my name." In 1 John chapter 5, John says, this is Jesus' command to us that we believe in his name. Some of you still haven't found that for me. That's okay, you can listen. But it's there. I actually had it some other notes. "These signs have followed those that believe in my name. They will cast out demons," right? "And they will do all those other things." And so it strengthens actually that thought and that line of thinking in our hearts and in our minds. Now, in the book of Acts, we put a lot of emphasis and rest a lot of weight on the testimony of the book of Acts. And the book of Acts really highlights three particular themes all the way through the book of Acts. Three things are highlighted particularly. One of them is the Word of God. The Word of God is repeatedly held up and put forward with in a place of honor. Secondly, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is frequently emphasized and highlighted in Acts. And thirdly, the name of Jesus. Now, you understand that the book of Acts began, let's say, for fun, about 50 days, just a few couple months after the end of the Gospels. And so at the end of the Gospels, we're reading in Mark chapter 16, and these are the last words of Jesus before the day of Pentecost. Jesus says, "These signs, hey you guys, these signs will follow those that believe in my name." So those are the last words the disciples heard, you understand, give or take, until we come to Acts chapter 1, the early part in verse 8. So the last thing that the disciples have ringing in their ears is Jesus saying, "These signs will follow you guys when you believe in my name." That's all they know. They didn't have most of the Word of God. In the book of Acts, they didn't have the book of Acts. They didn't have most of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, wasn't even saved yet. So they didn't have the New Testament. All they had ringing in their ears was Jesus' last words when he said, "These signs will follow you guys if you believe in my name. This is what will happen." That's all they had to go on. And so when we come now to the book of Acts, that stuff is still ringing. Those words are still ringing in their ears. And they're put in places where, like, they got to hang on to this. They got to believe that, because otherwise they're dead in the water. They're not going to be able to accomplish what the Lord would have them to do. And so that forms the backdrop then of what happens here in Acts chapter, in the book of Acts. Now, I want to speak to you this morning about how they used the name of Jesus in the book of Acts. And as we talk about this, I would that this will encourage you and be faith and be life to you as we talk together. Acts chapter 2. Let's begin in Acts chapter 2. This guy's doing a good job this morning. Acts chapter 2, let's go to well into the way of the into the heart of the chapter. Verse 37. Now, what's happened by the time we get to Acts chapter 2, verse 37, is that the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon the disciples, the 120 as they are in the upper room. And there are serious and significant and wonderful demonstrations of the Holy Spirit. We know chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 about how the Holy Spirit fell on them and there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind filled the room and tongues of fire set themselves on the heads of the disciples and they began to speak with other tongues. And then that all follows through to the end of the chapter. But beginning in about verse 14, Peter feels led to address the multitude that's gathering around. And they're saying, like, what is this? There's hordes of people coming, and they say, what is, we've never seen or anything, heard anything like this before. And so Peter begins to address them. And you understand the crowd that gathered wasn't, they weren't like going to a Billy Graham crusade and all excited to get there. They hadn't been waiting and planning for weeks and months to go there. They were, in fact, upset at Jesus. They were part of the crowd where Jesus was just crucified. They were not necessarily a very user-friendly group. They were kind of hostile. They were skittish. They were holding the disciples at arm's length. They weren't an eager crowd. But they gather around the disciples, and they watch this. They see all this unfolding, and these guys speaking in tongues, and whoa, this is pretty. This is pretty different for them. And so they're gathering now, and this crowd is kind of skittish. And Peter stands up and said, "Listen to me, brothers." And he begins a history of the people of God and speaks about Jesus. And as we come down into the middle of the chapter and we get down to verse 36, Peter says, "Therefore, let all the host of Israel know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Then, verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do? We're in trouble. Whoa, really? We crucified the Lord and the Christ. We just crucified the Messiah. What shall we do?'" In verse 38, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.'" Once more, "in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So, first off, we see that they used the name of Jesus in the book of Acts in preaching salvation and in preaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This was their grounds. If you were one of the Jewish crowd, there's 3,000, you understand, there's 3,000 got saved in one day. If you were one of that crowd and you were standing around, the first thing that Peter had said to them with Matthew, Mark chapter 16, verse 17, still ringing in his ears, "These signs will follow you guys that believe in my name." Now Peter's saying to this crowd, "Hey, all you guys, you want to know what to do? What you do is repent. You need to do a turnaround in your life. You need to receive and believe the fact that Jesus was the Messiah, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. And you need to believe in the name of Jesus, and you will be saved, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so they did that, 3,000 in one day, which is very, very powerful and very eloquent testimony to the power of the gospel. It wasn't, you understand, for Peter, this wasn't just a formula. All he knew was believe in Jesus. This is the command of the living God, that you believe in the name of Jesus. You believe in the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus was intended to bring us advantage and to bring us into new places and understanding and revelation in the kingdom of God. And furthermore, that will bring you even into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now let's go a little further into Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 4, "Therefore, those who had been scattered about went preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began preaching Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord," listen to this, "were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice." How come were they coming out of them with a loud voice? Because in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus said, "These signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons." You got it? The connection? Verse 8. "And there was much rejoicing in that city." Go on to verse 12. Verse 12 is key. "But when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike." And so this scripture underscores for us how that Philip's message to the multitudes now in Samaria and wherever he went was, "Believe now in the name of Jesus." Now the name of Jesus, you understand, encompasses all that Jesus is to us. It encompasses his character, his ministry, his identity. In fact, that when we believe in the name of Jesus, this morning we would say here, we believe in the name of Jesus. We trust in the name of Jesus. What the name of Jesus represents is all the covenant blessings of the Old Testament, plus all the covenant blessings of the New Testament, all wrapped up into one. And so when you say, I believe in Jesus' name, when I say, bless in the name of Jesus, be blessed, be restored, all the blessings of the Old Testament and all the blessings of the New Testament come upon us in Jesus' name. We say, in the name of Jesus. So when you guys come to your dinner table, and you say, we thank you, Father, for this food. And we pray, God, we rejoice that you bless our food and our water. And you take away sickness from the midst of us. And that everything we do is blessed. And that these blessings come from our hand. We receive these blessings in the name of Jesus. Like, guys, you understand? That's a big prayer. That's not just a little prayer. Like, oh, Jesus, bless the potatoes and gravy. You know, ask for no more. It's not like that. In Jesus' name, amen. It's not like that. It's like, in the name of Jesus, all the blessings of the Old Testament, all the blessings of the New Testament come to me and to my house. That's big. So we just don't gloss over and just go fluff over real quick. No, 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 no. We say, in the name of Jesus, I'm blessed. My house is blessed because we pray in Jesus' name. That's serious. We'll keep going. That's serious, or we'll run out of time, and that'll be more serious. Number two. Not only did they minister salvation in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but in Acts chapter 3, we turn over. If you're in Acts chapter 2, you turn over to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, look at us. Look at me. Look at me, sunshine. Look at me. And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something for them. But Peter said, right, I do not have silver and gold. Silver and gold have I none. I just really was blessed at when Jason Silver talked to us about, he spoke to us at camp last weekend about this scripture. How many of you caught it? A few of you caught it. What he said was, the reason that Peter said, silver and gold had I none, is because Jesus had just sent them out halfway through the book of Mark and said, don't take your silver and gold with you. Because when you take your silver and gold with you and walk down your street, down the street, everybody's going to want your silver and gold. They'll be asking you for your silver and gold. So don't take your silver and gold with you. So now here's Peter. It's not to say that he was flat broke, not to say that he was in debt, you know, or that he wasn't blessed. Doesn't say that at all. It just says he doesn't have any cash with him because Jesus said, leave her at home. But now Peter stands before the lame man. He says, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, I got a blessing for you, brother. He says, in the name of Jesus, all the covenant promises of the Old Testament, all the covenant blessings of the New Testament, they are yours, man, in the name of Jesus, up on your feet. And the man, we find he's walking and leaping and praising God. Now, the reason I share that with you, beloved, is because the name of Jesus covers every situation, every circumstance, every problem, every weakness, every fault, every failure, every crisis that ever touched your life. Jesus said in Mark chapter, where did we go? We started there John chapter 16. Jesus said, chapter 15, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name,